want to talk today with you on this title, Back to the Future. Back to the Future. Some of you remember that old movie. It's getting old now. In fact, it's an old movie. Let's just call it what it is. But a young man ends up slipping back into time and gets into all kinds of trouble in the past, and he needs to get back to the future, all right? But here, I want to say to you that Peter and the other apostles are also, in a regrettable kind of a way, slipping back into the past. And the Lord needs to call them back to the future, back to the work he's given them to do going forward. See, they're going backwards. I want you to notice that as this gospel begins, there's something that I might call a regrettable reversal. A regrettable reversal. Because Simon Peter says something very sad, and very, in a way, shocking. He says, I'm going fishing. Now you say, well, big deal. Listen, first of all, let's be clear. It's not just I'm going to throw a pole and, a little recreational fishing. He's got his commercial nets out. Are you praying with me? He's going back to commercial fishing. Now the Lord had called him away from that. No longer will you be catching fish. You'll be catching men and women. He's called him to be a fisher of men, not of sea fish. So the Lord had, 3 years before that, called Peter away from fishing. And now what's particularly sad and really shocking is that Peter has already seen Jesus alive at least twice. Risen from the dead. And wouldn't you think that you'd be like, I'm all in, Jesus. You rose from the dead. Now, that's impressive. I'm all in. But he's still struggling. You know, I think a lot of times we like to think, if I just saw miracles, I'd be all in. But we still struggle. I've seen miracles, haven't you?
Amen, amen.
But on the other hand, we still struggle. There's something very weak and obtuse about the human heart. And so despite having seen Jesus risen from the dead, Peter is still struggling with some discouragement. A kind of a now what? Okay, he's risen. I can't get my mind around the fact that he's risen. Okay, now what? And we're going to see that Peter has some wounds in his heart that the Lord needs to address. Anyone got a few?
Yeah.
All right. And so we see, though, that this gospel opens with a kind of a regrettable reversal. Peter says, I'm going fishing. Now pay attention, church. Peter doesn't just go alone. He takes folks with him. You know, when you get backslidden, when you step back from the holiness, the life to which you have been summoned in your baptism, you don't usually go alone. You bring folks with you. You start to get negative, other folks start to get negative. You start to get unchaste and sexually impure, and you bring other folks with you. You start to get greedy and grasping and unforgiving or unmerciful and unkind, and you start to spread kind of venom. Draws other people into the net. So be careful. None of us is simply an isolated figure. We influence and are influenced by other people. So in this regrettable reversal, the others say to Peter, we'll go with you. Great and sad, a regrettable reversal. The next thing I want you to notice is a kind of a redeeming reminder. They're out there, about 100 yards out, probably fishing, and the Lord stands on the shore, and some of us in this church have been on that rocky seashore where the Lord called to Peter. A little chapel, a little church there, and where tradition says he had built this little charcoal fire. We'll get back to that in a minute, but the Lord stood on the shore, and he called out, and he said with great tenderness, children, the text here says children. Actually, it's in the Greek, little children. Imagine calling grown men little children. But to us, I don't care how old you think you are, God's older. And he still sees us all as little children. But he calls out and he says, little children, he said, have you caught anything? Not a thing. Because when you get out of God's will, you're not going to bear much fruit. So they're out there and nothing's in the net. But the Lord is reminding them of something. 3 years before, when Peter had been told to lower, to go out in deeper water and lower his nets for a catch, and he said, yeah, right. I'll humor this guy. And he lowered his nets. A huge catch. Well, now the Lord does the same thing. You see, the Lord has tenderness here, doesn't he? He's not a, what are you doing out of that boat? Get over here. Come on, get onto this shore. That's not what he does. He says, little children, have you caught anything to eat? Nothing. So the Lord sometimes asks us with great tenderness, how's it going in your life? Are you bearing fruit? Are you sometimes struggling? Why is that? And he sends us little reminders. We'll get to that in just a moment. But here the Lord says, look, remember Peter? We haven't caught a thing, sir. Throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And all of a sudden, it dawns on John. I got it. It's the Lord. He's reminded. A redeeming reminder. So we have a regrettable reversal. And there's a redeeming reminder. The Lord gently and lovingly calling them back to the future. They slip back into the past. The Lord stands on the shore and says, remember, I've called you to go somewhere else now and to do something far better. I'm orienting you now towards your future. And so it is that some of us do the same thing. We slip backwards. We go back to things we have no business doing. The Lord called us from it. Whether it's sin or it might even just be a good thing, but the Lord called us away from that. A good friend of mine was a priest. He was also a dentist before he was a priest. And at one time, he went through something of a struggle and he thought, well, maybe I'll go back to dentistry. But he heard the Lord. No, I've called you away from that. He's a good priest, solid priest. He stayed with the Lord, moving forward into the future. What little redeeming reminders do you sometimes need, do I, you know? Sometimes the Lord just sends us those little reminders. Maybe it's a tattered old Bible, gotten all too dusty. Maybe it's an old hymn that we hear. We drive past a church. We pull open the drawer and we see grandmother's rosary beads. Maybe it's just they were summoned to a funeral or a wedding. So often I celebrate funerals. I'll have one tomorrow. I have another one on Wednesday right in this church. And I promise you, huge numbers in that funeral haven't seen the inside of the church since the last year. And you know they're going to hear from me about it. Standing on the seashore saying, have you caught anything yet? Little reminders, the Lord said. Look for them. And even those of us, thank God, who are in God's house, hopefully walking in the right direction, we still need those little reminders, don't we? It's so easy to slide back into the past. Things that the Lord called us away from. So we see then a regrettable reversal and a redeeming reminder. Next comes a reorienting repast. The Lord uses a meal to reorient. Now the word reorient, by the way, is an interesting word. It means literally to be turned back to the east, toward the rising sun. In this neighborhood, I believe east is that way. The sun rises in the east. It's a symbol of hope, of new life, of a new day. The west, a symbol of darkness. And so to be reoriented means to be turned back to the light, back toward Jerusalem, back toward where Jesus rose from the dead. So the Lord wants to turn them back to the light. And he uses a meal to do it. And I hope you understand that really that's what every Mass is supposed to do for us, to help us to stay oriented In other words, turn to the east. And so, the Lord, if you will, orients us. And isn't it a beautiful thing, the Son of God cooking breakfast? Isn't that nice? You know? You wouldn't want to have any of my breakfast, but I guess the Lord must have been a good cook. But he's got a charcoal fire going there, and he's cooking breakfast. A beautiful detail. You know, Peter, as soon as he hears it's the Lord, dives in and rushes back to the Lord as fast as he can get there. And there's three things that the Lord uses in this meal to reorient. Now, you see, the focus is going to shift to Simon Peter now. And the first thing, there's three things that I want to call to your attention, the way the Lord reorients Peter. There's the fish, there's the fire, and there's frankness. First of all, the fish. Did you notice that there's a strange little number of fish? 153. Come on, Lord, give us a good round number. Maybe 150 or 180, but 153. And that's had Christians scratching their heads for centuries. There's at least 153 theories about what 153 means. And I'm just going to tell you the theory that makes the most sense to me is that it was the number of known nations at that time. I don't care how likely the theory is, it worked, so I'm going to use it. Because I'm going to just tell you that, remember what the Lord has said, no longer fish, now the nations. I'm sending you to the nations. Go therefore unto all the nations. 153 fish, Peter. Do you get it? Remember? Not fish of the sea. The human beings that I've called you to go and preach to. They're your future. I'm calling you back to the future, Peter. So you see the vision here, right? Yeah. So there's the fish. But then there's the fire. And Peter comes on shore. And he sees that fire. And something must have troubled him about that fire. That charcoal fire. Trouble. Why? Well, go with me 3 or 4 weeks ago, and there's another fire, and it's burning in the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest. And Jesus is on trial for his life across the courtyard. Maybe from here to that wall over there. It's not far. It's not a big courtyard. I've stood in the ruins of that courtyard. And imagine this. The Son of God is on trial for his life over near that wall. But I'm worried because I'm feeling kind of cold. So Peter says, it says he's warming himself by the fire. Well, Jesus is on trial for his life. And three times he's confronted. Hey, aren't you one of his followers? Not me. Don't you know him? I don't know him! You must be one of his followers. I don't know the man. The man, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He had said to him, I don't know the man. And it says in Luke's gospel that Jesus over there, the third time Peter turned, it says so beautifully in the Vulgate, the Latin, conversus dominus respecti Petrum. The Lord turned around and looked at Peter. Peter wept and ran out. At the cock crowed. Charcoal fire. 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. And now that same, another charcoal fire. And Peter's troubled. Something about that fire must have bothered him. But the Lord was working on something that was still eating at Peter's heart. Peter had a sorrow about that moment that he still hadn't recovered from. And it was time for Jesus and Peter to have a frank discussion, an honest and tender discussion about that moment. Anyone have that kind of stuff in your heart? And somehow you just needed to talk through with somebody. The Lord wanted to talk with you about it. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my heart. Oh, just a little talk with Jesus. Made it right. And so, we've seen the fish and the fire, and now comes the frank discussion. It doesn't work in English. It only works in Greek. It does not work in English. You know the discussion. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know all things. You know that I love you. That's what we hear in English. But in Greek, it's a much more subtle conversation. Jesus says to Peter in Greek, Simon Petros, agapas me. Which means, Simon Peter, do you love me with an agape love? Do you love me above all things? Above all people? Even above your own self? Do you love me with that kind of absolute love? Peter answers him. And he does not say agapose. He says, Kyrie, Lord. Phileos, I love you with brotherly love. Peter, do you love me with agape love? Lord, I love you with brotherly love. You're a good guy. I'm all for you. I'm a big fan of yours. I have affection for you. You're like a brother to me. Okay. But the Lord's asking for this kind of love, and way up here, and Peter can only give this kind of love. You know, let's say you went to a great movie. Did you see the movie? I loved that movie. But what did you think of the movie? He said, well, I liked it. You're looking for something more, amen? You don't ask if you love the movie and you get it back, I liked it. That doesn't work. That isn't right. The young lady says to the young man, do you love me with all your heart? Why, I like you, you're pretty. No! So the Lord says to Peter, Peter, do you love me with agape love? Lord, you're like a brother to me. I have great affection for you. But agape love, Peter, you know, he's finally being honest, isn't he? He boldly said, I'll go with you even to your death. Anyone tries to lay a hand on you, I'll be right there at your side. Well, you know what happened. Peter's hurt, isn't he? He's finally being honest. He's saying, Lord, you know me better than that. You know it. I got brotherly love for you. Lord, I think I love my own hide more than I love you. Peter, the Lord says a second time, Simon Petrus, agapas me. Kyrie. Phileos. Peter, do you love me with agape love? Lord, I love you with brotherly love. But you know, the Lord doesn't reject Peter, does he? He says, Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. The Lord doesn't wait for you and me to be perfect, to give us children to raise, or parishes to pastor, or work to do. The Lord works with us in our struggles. He still has something for us to do. The Lord can use us in our weakness as also in our strength. Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah. Lord.
But the third time, the Lord then turns to Peter and says, Simon Petros, phileis me. Simon Peter, all right, then do you love me with brotherly love? And Peter is sad. And he says, Lord, he says, you know all things. You know that I only love you with brotherly love. Tend my sheep, Peter. Tend my sheep. Now, it's a poignant moment, isn't it? It's a beautiful moment, but it's a painful moment. But it's an honest moment. And you know, sometimes 5 minutes of a prayer of honesty will get you more than 3 hours of a prayer of rhetoric that you don't need. Bold, I love you, Lord! Pray to the Lord, the Almighty. That's all great. But there come those honest moments where the Lord says, do you love me more than anything else? More than fishing, Peter? Honestly, Lord, I'm struggling. Honestly, Lord, there are things on my priority list that are higher than you. My career, my popularity, my hide. The Lord says, I'm glad you've answered me honestly. Now let's keep working. That's what the Lord says to Peter. Peter, I still have a work for you to do, even in your struggle. This beautiful, honest conversation needed to happen for Peter. And then finally, I want you to notice we started out with a regrettable reversal, a redeeming reminder, a reorienting repast, where through the fish and the fire, and now the frankness, the Lord is working to get Peter back in the right direction. So we've seen, finally, I want you to notice the required remedy. The Lord says, Peter, follow me. Follow me. Whatever your wounds, church, whatever your limitations, whatever your struggles, keep following Jesus.
Yes.
He says, Peter, I want you to know something. When you were a young man, you tied your belt and you went about wherever you pleased. One day, when you're older, there will be someone who will tie you and lead you off to where you don't want to go. And the text tells us that he's talking about that Peter would die for Jesus. Church, do you see what Jesus is saying? Peter, I know that you don't have agape love for me right now, but you keep following me, and I'm going to give you a new heart and a new mind, and I'm going to change your priorities. I'm calling you out of the past and back to the future. I'm looking forward now, Peter, not backward. Don't worry about what happened at that charcoal fire 4 or 5 weeks ago. You stay with me now and keep moving to the future. You follow me, Peter, and I got news for you. One day, you're going to die for love of me. You will face the challenge again, and this time you'll overcome it. You'll say, you mean to say, you're going to kill me if I say I know Jesus? Well, I know! And Peter did die. He was crucified upside down. Finally, on that last day of his life, Peter could look up, upside down, looking up toward heaven. And he could say, finally, Kyrie, agapose, Lord, I love you now with all my heart. Above all things, above all people, I love you more than myself, more than anything in this world. Lord, I love you. I love you with agape. Finally, Peter could get there. And the Lord had to lead him there. And he'll lead all of us. If you're still struggling with anything in your life right now, you keep following Jesus. You give it to the Lord. The Lord says, let's not look backward. Back to the future. We're heading forward. Look up to glory. I've already seen you in your perfected glory. I'm leading you somewhere, says the Lord. Stay with me. Stay in the conversation. Don't give up. I know there's wounds in your heart, but I love you. And so, today, the Lord standing on the seashore of our life, saying to us, how's it going? Where are your wounds? Talk to me. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Softly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Amen. Amen. Amen.